It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
To me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day here in the LRN Network. Now, we have a special thing that we're doing for you today. We're going to go ahead and we're trying to broadcast from our video studio because we wanted to make sure that we had an opportunity to kind of be co along with Gary Franchi from Restore the Republic. Gary, I got you on there?
Yes, sir. Great to be back.
Yeah, Gary, you know, we, this video studio thing, I know you got it down, but, you know, trying to combine the radio along with the video, that's our first attempt, cause we love you, man, and we're going through the stress. And my family is going through the stress. But we may go back into the studio here in a little bit, make it easier on everybody, but we wanted to make sure that we are demonstrating to the people the power of the internet and the power of the opportunities that we have to compete with the lamestream media, the media that's so last century, because they're just, it's all flash, but there's no content. We got content. We're on the front lines of the revolution, and that's very interesting. So, Gary, tell me what's going on with you, man.
Well, you know, you bring up the media, and what we are witnessing right now is a mass migration away from the major networks, you know, from the CNBCs, from the Fox News Channel, from all these different, you know, mainstream media outlets. There's a mass migration because the people see through their smoke and mirrors, and they're searching for answers, they're searching for the truth, and they're finding it right here online. And that's the beautiful thing about the internet. You bring up the power of it because rather than, you know, having to rely on, you know, the talking heads, people are voting with their fingertips in the search engines, and they're coming up and they're asking the questions and they're finding the answers that they want. So, you know, when you have good content, when you have a message that's solid, that's founded on truth, that's founded on facts, people are gonna gravitate to that. They're sick of being lied to, Arnie.
You know, we had just the election yesterday. We had Rand Paul handily wins. He comes in and he gave credit
to the Tea Party. That's a milestone for this movement, if I might say.
I think so. But he gave credit to the Tea Party movement. And then he tried to take it and define what it was. And he gave a few things. I remember one of them was term limits or something. And I'm like, yeah, it's called voting. But the Tea Party. Having such a big win with Rand Paul, here's an opportunity for Rand to kind of reclaim that Tea Party movement, and then he gets to pick what the issues are that they're about. Do you remember what he was saying that the Tea Party represented?
Well, not exactly, but I do recall the senator that won from Massachusetts, and he claimed to be the Tea Party candidate as well. And, he went on to be a senator. And what has he done? Nothing but just introduce draconian legislation, backing legislation like, stripping people of their citizenship and all, basically going along this neocon political line. You know, and that's where I see, forgive me, but the senator's name escapes me now. But
Scott Brown?
He claimed to be, I'm sorry?
Scott Brown?
Scott Brown, yes. Yeah, Scott Brown. He signed on to a bunch of legislation that showed where he stood.
And 24 hours after getting elected, he's saying, talking about national
health care. He's already jumping in bed with the neocons. And at least I can say, you know, based on, well, from what I know about Congressman Paul and where he stands, you know, I'm willing to bet the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree in this situation with Rand. So, yes, Rand does have a platform to stand on, and he can really define what the Tea Party movement is. And this is an excellent opportunity for that.
I'm hopeful that we're able to take this Tea Party movement and define and understand it for what it is. It was just individuals wanting to be left alone. It was an individual thing, individuals. And to try and collectivize them under one thing and then we're going to define what it is, I think you're going down the dark side already. But I'm sure there are fundamental principles that they would like to have.
The fundamental principles, Ernie, are simple constitutional values that have made this country great. I don't think anybody can argue that. But when you have a movement that shows momentum, that shows promise, and then you have the political opportunists like your standard Republicans or Democrats that want to jump in on this thing and call it their own. You get these inside the Beltway groups that have backing from, you know, cloaked donors and in different Republican smoking circles. And, you know, they put their foot in and they paint up their tour buses. They go across the country and, you know, they try to define it. But again, we see through those types of attempts. We see through the smoke and mirrors, and you know it really is a grassroots movement. You know, it's not the Sarah Palins, it's not the John McCains. You know, it's real grassroots individuals who are out there holding the signs, who are organizing the rallies, who are organizing the film screenings, who are out there passing out flyers and you know, just doing the hard legwork to wake up the American people.
You know, Gary, let me make an observation and see if you concur. The vast majority of the people in the beginning that would attend these Tea Party rallies and so on were just people that were representing themselves. They went with their own signs. They had their own concept, their own ideas. There were sometimes groups that were represented by a meetup from here and a meetup from there, and they just went. Then there was the Clear Channel Fox News permit for the stage and microphone, and probably a small percentage of the people even went, especially a large one in Washington, D.C., could even hear what was being said from the platform. And you have, you know, Sean Hannity and all these guys going, you know, look at all these people, and they want whatever we tell you they want. We represent them. They're part of ours. And then there's the Tea Party Express, and there's a Tea Party this and a Tea Party that. And they started trying to put them into luggage that they had hold of the handle of. And I'm going, it's not like that, man. You know, these people are just representing themselves. They want to do what they want to do. And so then I saw that there was kind of a rebellion. You know, you had fewer people, you know, that were attending. The ones that you had a higher percentage of, like the Ron Paul types, are out passing out DVDs and material and stuff like that. And you could see that you started to get, you know, the people that were just wanting to be left alone, be free, represent their own views on whatever it was, they started to drift off, and you were left with, as time goes on, I see a much higher percentage of the people that are kind of the Ron Paul types, end the Fed, get out of the wars, that kind of stuff. And then the other side that is backed by the RNC, backed by the traditional status quo, backed by Clear Channel Fox News type, that are, we still got to do away with immigration and Muslims and war. So I see almost 180 degrees in this group. I'm trying to find out what the overlapping issues are. You know, where's the overlap? Is there one?
If I could just interject for a second, I think the overlap that we see the status quo attempting to bring to their side of the table, it is verbiage, it's language, it's rhetoric that mirrors the things that you have been saying, the things that I have been saying, the things that Congressman Paul, the late Aaron Russo have been saying for many, many years. And the only difference is they are using that language because they see that it's popular. You know, remember how Congressman Paul used to say freedom is popular? That's what they're using that language because they know it resonates with the core. And that core is it's constitutional values, restoring the Republic of the United States, upholding the Bill of Rights, and empowering the Bill of Rights, acting on the Bill of Rights. It's all this language that they're using. So I really think the overlap is right there.
I'm hoping you're right. And I hear a lot of, there hasn't been an election cycle that I've been involved in. I've been doing this since 88. And I'll tell you, there hasn't been a single election cycle that I haven't heard screaming about support of the Constitution coming from the Republicans. And then we just find out that Newt Gingrich is going to run for president in 2012, and they're going to try and resurrect that dog. And I remember the rhetoric that they had, the contract with America, contract on America, depending on your perspective, and they're going to try and do the same thing again. And it was, what's amazing is that that was a side effect of the 1992 Perot thing that was going on. So now they had the Ron Paul revolution. They're going to try and do the same thing with the same people. I'm like, how stupid do they think we are? Obviously, pretty dumb. So we'll be back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Gary Franchi from RestoreTheRepublic.com in just a little bit. You stay right there.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day on Liberty News Radio here in the afternoon. I'm glad to have with me Gary Franchi. Hello, Gary. And I moved in the studio. The audio's a lot better, man. They're complaining. We'll get it worked out. But we still have the camera on. We'll go ahead and use this as part of the video. Gary has his own video studio. He's got it going on called Reality Report. And Gary, would you tell us about that? So we'll let the people know what we're trying to do here, and you're going to get me up to speed with you, man.
The Reality Report basically was born out of what we call the Freedom Media Project, which was a project of RestoreTheRepublic.com. Basically, there was we felt that there was a serious vacuum for our message in the media, so to speak, and we became victims of what we saw during the Ron Paul revolution, victims of seeing Ron Paul excluded left and right and beat up in debates. And so, hey, look, we wanted to set up our own media outlet. It's something that Aaron Russo wanted too. So what we've done is we put together, with the support of our members, of our viewers, collected donations, and we put together a television studio, a full-blown, full-service television studio, so that we can basically take this country back using the media and pushing the message of freedom and liberty and truth to the American people.
Truth. What's the truth? You know, I get that question. You know, I want to ask you that question. I get it a lot. Truth. What's the truth?
What is the truth? Well, I guess there's something inside you that when you see something going on or you hear something, you feel it. You know when it's right, you know when it's wrong. It's like that, it's that inherent feeling. It's that gut feeling. You know it's right. You know, I can't explain it.
Well, you know, the best way I can put it, I go, I don't know, not lies. It's truth. You know, because what they're trying to say, they're trying to justify something that they're doing. They feel convicted. You know, hey, we know the truth. And they're going, truth? What's the truth? You know what the truth is for me is I can justify doing whatever heck it is that they want to justify doing. And when we have forums, discussions on the campaign trail, and we just want to share the truth, well, define that. You know, the truth is not lying. When you know something to be not factually correct, well, you tell them the correct facts, you know, and what substantiates whatever it is that you're trying to say. I tell you this, I am not trying to convince people to agree with me. I just want to let them know and try to make sure they understand why I'm so convinced. I go, look, this is what convinced me. This is why I'm so convinced. And what effect does it have on you?
What you bring up is really a great example of how to speak to people on these issues. For years and years, I spent a lot of time and a lot of energy trying to convince people until I began to really understand how people worked and started to ask questions, getting people to think. And then rather asking people's opinions of things and with the questions and asking them, you know, look, I learned this. What do you think about it? You know, and that helps to wake up the masses. But when
just to get them to ask the right questions. I mean, just to get them to ask the right questions. You know, my whole thing has been that one surprised me when they go, because we have that a lot. We know the truth, you know, on a bunch of our cards and so on. And they're going, well, what's the truth? And what was interesting to me is not that it's often that somebody would ask me. It's just the kind of people that do. And it's only a few. I mean, you know, you get them, but they have one thing in common. They were trying to rationalize something they were doing they knew to be wrong. And I'm going, what's the truth? I don't know. It's like not lies. That is the simplest way to put it. Well, I'm wondering what why they would ask the question, though. I mean, because you'd hesitate, too. You know, you go, well, I don't know. The truth is like, I don't know. You go find it's like not BS. And it's amazing to me the kind of people that will ask that question. And it may be your own truth. It may be, you know, what you perceive to be. But you're going to have to be able to relate that to someone else. Certainly people you love, your children, your family, your parents. You know, I want to share something with you.
I think when you say truth is not lying, I think that's really the simplest thing to say. Because
that's my default.
Politicians get caught up in lies all the time.
Yeah, you know, and it's almost, even when it's not to their advantage, even when it's not, you know, it serve them better by just telling the truth, they default to lying because they're so used to hiding the truth that they just always lie. It's I don't know the definition of pathological, but I mean, dang, I'll bet you it is. So I'm looking at an opportunity now that we have after this election cycle. This election cycle is going to produce, I think, a lot more problems than a lot of people anticipate.
Problems, you think? What kind of problems?
Well, when you are successful, you will have the full court press effort that will come from the big bad guys who are like, oh, heck no. We got Reality Report out there actually being effective. You know, we need to get rid of that. Gary, you're looking kind of peaking, boy. We need to – how many millions of dollars you want to go away? And you go, well, let me think about it for a second. You know, because this is – let's put it this way. If the big bad guys could eliminate the entire movement with what, $10 million? $50 million, $100 million, would it be worth it? And the point that I'm making is that we have diversified this so much that whatever they would do, they'd take me off the air, we just evaporate from the face of the planet. There's so much diversity of this movement that all they do is just create five more for every one of us that they take out. So
what's wild about that is even if we were to evaporate, disappear, vanish, you know, get carted off to FEMA camps or whatever. I think what's wild is that the internet is so vast that I stumble across new Patriot sites, new Patriot producers every single day. You know, I have the core groups that I know and associate with, but I mean, there are so many people out there. There's so many voices. I think the only way for them to effectively destroy this movement would be to destroy the internet.
Ah, see, this is what I'm talking about. And this is why we were so adamant about Spaceship One. In the summer of 2004, when we had the first private astronaut went up to in the space without any government money, we were all over that thing. And we went out, we had signs, and, you know, Spaceship One, Government Zero. You can't hear the government scream in space. We're going to space and government's not invited. I mean, we were having all kinds of fun with the signs that we did. And it's because we understood what was going to happen. This direct peer-to-peer communication and what we're doing right here and the success that you've had with the Reality Report is that there is the ability to compete directly for the opinion, the prevailing opinion. I haven't heard that in a long time. It was just a few months ago. I remembered when I was a kid, well, prevailing opinion said prevailing opinion. What the heck does prevailing opinion have to do with anything?
Yeah, it's who because, decides the prevailing opinion?
Exactly. It's what prevails. It's what gets hammered into your head. And certainly
you know, Obama recently came out and he said that there's too many distractions and, you know, our message isn't getting across. Well, it's because your message sucks.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you know, can't make people, you know, you have a right to speak, but you can't, you know, you don't have a right to make me hear you. I mean, you know, it's like,
exactly.
It's like in Big Brother,
yeah,
you can't turn the TV
like,
off.
I'm sick of hearing Obama. I'm going to go ahead and type away from him.
So I, you know, that's my concern. There's going to be problems created from our success. I, you know, the, a lot of people don't intend. It's just going to be a trend line going up forever. And I'm going, no, that's not how it works. Whenever freedom expands to the point they didn't see it coming, they're starting to get worried. You see things like Rand Paul. And then we have in a couple of weeks, we're going to have Adam Kokesh in Northern New Mexico, see what happens there. If they have this wave, they will react. When we come back on Declare Your Independence, with me, Ernest Hancock, and Gary Franchi from RestoreTheRepublic.com. We're going to talk about what might happen after. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
As I'm getting older, your people get colder. Most of us only care about money making. Selfishness got us following the wrong direction. Wrong information always shown by the media. Negative images is the main criteria. Infecting the young minds faster than bacteria. Kids want to act like what they see in the cinema. Whatever happened to the values of humanity? Whatever happened to the fairness and equality? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity. Lack of understanding leading us away from unity. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling under. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling down. It's no wonder why sometimes I'm feeling under. Gotta keep my faith alive, love is found. Ask yourself.
Oh, we're saturated with love here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, Gary Franchi from RestoreTheRepublic.com here on Declare Your Independence. And, you know, that's what a good question, man. Where did all love go? You know, where is it at now, man?
Where's the love? Well, there's a lot of love. You just got to know where to find it.
Yes. This is what's been clear to me. I have been always advocating the fun, the love, and sharing, you know, making sure that your family and your friends, your neighbors are aware of the truth. But the problem has always been that there's a lot of resistance to the truth. There's a lot of resistance to that. But you can't have love without trust. And you can't have trust without truth.
Truth. With truth comes responsibility.
You know, responsibility to what? I mean, you know, let's say I know the truth about everything. My responsibility is what?
Well, it's like, okay, you have to be responsible to hold that truth. If you learn some new information, okay, and that new information causes you to make a life shift, you have a choice. You can either, you know, continue on your path, or you can be ignorant of that truth. You know, you have to be responsible. That's what I'm saying. You have to be responsible for the information and the truth that you discover along this path.
To make that, you know, from a libertarian perspective, I know some hardcore guys, they'd be going, I'm not responsible for nobody else for nothing. You know, I'm responsible for myself. I don't have any obligation to save you. You're lucky I even told you what was going on.
You're responsible for yourself, for what you learn, for what you do, and for what you know and how you act on that knowledge.
You know, the responsibility, you know, the counter to that is kind of the Spider-Man syndrome, that you have Spider-Man had the power. He has this gift, just strength and speed and his little web thing and all this kind of stuff. And in the beginning of the comic book series and the beginning of the first movie and all, it's kind of a morality tale to where you had the obligation to make use of your gifts, your abilities towards good? I mean, is that something you're supposed to do? Well, that was the moral of the story, and the objective of the author was to say, look, with great gifts, with great power, with great knowledge, truth, whatever, there comes responsibility. And I'm not sure where you would get that as, you know, some kind of a legal or moral thing other than it's, you know, truth, justice, and what used to be the American way, which is we expect our heroes, we expect our people that inspire us, people that, you know, lead by example, we expect them to share the truth, you know, not lie, and we appreciate it when they do it. I mean, this has happened throughout history.
Well, you hold them to a higher standard.
Yeah, I think it's a mistake, though. I mean, you know, holding the individual to a higher standard is, and I, you know, I don't look at them. Yeah, I'll give you a good example. I just last night I saw the movie Gonzo. It's a collector's edition. I happened to see it when we were in New York getting DVDs for our nephews. We were just going, we'll get them Princess Bride and, you know, Iron Man 1 and some cool stuff we knew they'd enjoy. And so it was, we're shopping. I saw this Gonzo movie, which is a documentary on the life of Hunter Thompson. And I got it for Jet, the board op. I said, look, man, you know, this is he's always going on about Gonzo journalism, the way he writes and Hunter Thompson. So I got this for him as just a gift. And he goes, nope, you got to watch it first. You watch it. You know, I got copies. I give them out. You watch it. So I watched it last night. And the one thing that I saw in there is that he was such a, you know, kind of had a crazy sense of humor he would get an accurate story, but not necessarily with accurate facts. You know, he was, you know, telling a story. And he wrote for Rolling Stone. He did a lot of political coverage and so on. And the one thing that I realized is that he really was an optimist. I mean, he wanted people to understand the reality of what was going on from behind the scenes, and he kept getting disappointed in politics. He'd always wrap around, you know, some individual he would support, and then, you know, he'd turn on them, or they'd lose at the election, or the people didn't get it, or whatever. He was always disappointed when he put faith in individuals. But I don't think he was as disappointed if he put faith in the popularity of the truth with the people. And he thought that would transfer into better leaders, you know, for want of a better word. He thought that that would transfer into them wanting to appeal to the desire of the people. And because of the internet and because of efforts like yours.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, in Hunter S. Thompson's later years, the internet was just beginning.
Right.
So I don't think he really got the opportunity to witness the power of mass communication and mass media from the individual's perspective or the individual's ability.
Yeah, I think he would. In the movie, it had where he started writing something about 9/11 that just happened, and he goes, "You know, we've lost peace in our time. You know, that's done. That's over. We're not going to have that anymore." And he was, I think, depressed about it, but. His first wife in the documentary, she goes, because he had killed himself. I mean, he had, you know, said, you know, he was going to go out suicide when the time was right. Boom, done. And everybody kind of expected it. And he's like, yeah, you know, that's how I wanted to do it and go build my monument thing. And, you know, he's good. So, but she was very angry, thinking that it was selfish, because she goes, we need him now. Now's when we needed him. Now's when he would have had most of the impact. Now is when he would take his skills and be able to highlight what's going on and be part of this revolution. And so she was angry that, but I think it probably had a lot to do with his capacity. He wasn't, as he got older, he wasn't able to do what he'd done before. And that's probably one of the reasons why he wanted to leave us. But I could understand why people, because it was part of an earlier generation than us, but I could understand why people were so influenced by him. But in the end, as much as he was critical of politicians and so on, he demonstrated an optimism that I see in a lot of the stuff that you and I do. As much as we would point out how bad things are, we're going, look, let me tell you where the good is. It's in us. That's where the love is. It's in us. We're the ones that are sharing this. We are the ones that are already right now planning for the after party, because we know it's going to crash. There's no saving the dollar anymore. There's no saving this. Everything, you know, I go around for last couple of years and people, they go, well, you really think it's going to get that? I said, look around. You know, it's like looking in the Matrix, you know what I mean? Look around. All this is going to go away. This is not anywhere, anything resembling this is going to be back anytime soon. It's going to be different. I mean, it might be better. but it's not going to be the same. It's not going to be based on the same kind of things. It's not going to have the same kind of values. It's not going to have the same talking heads. It's not going to have the same, you know, type of, you know, respect for various levels of government. It's going to be totally different. People will get their marching orders either from themselves or somebody worth taking any kind of advice from in the future. And I'm telling you, it's the young, it's the youth. And you and I have both, we saw it together. Oh, that's one thing a lot of the audience doesn't know. You and I were co-MCs for the Revolution March in Washington, D.C., where Dr. Paul spoke, and Chuck Baldwin and Adam Kokesh, I had him on this morning. And this has, we stood there and watched this ocean of people just get super excited about the concept of freedom and demanding it, knowing that they're going to get it. It's just, it's going to get messy. And I'm hoping to keep it, you know, peaceful with daisies and gun barrels.
Well, you know, that Revolution March, hats off to the organizers there, you know, Ray Powell and Oyate and the whole crew there, you know, just for putting it together and giving us the opportunity, to MC it. I mean, that was really an honor. And, you know, it was so hot that day. Looking at pictures from that day, at the end of the day, I was red as a lobster. You know, I had a towel over my neck. I was carrying an umbrella. You know, throwing water bottles off the stage. I mean, that crew, that crowd of people who were out there boiling in the heat. You know, they were sacrificing their own well-being just so they could hear the words of freedom.
And for hours and hours. You know,
that's just a microcosm of what we're seeing on a grand scale nationally, you know, with the Tea Party movement. Obviously, you and I both know, Revolution March, that was one of the first examples, along with the early Tea Parties with the Ron Paul fundraising drive, were the spark that lit the Tea Party movement.
Yeah, no, and it, there was no other choice they had. They had to embrace this. They had no choice. Or they would have what? Done what? What else would they have done? And what are they going to do with it now? We're going to talk about what they're going to do with it now when we come back here and Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Gary Franch. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Hancock, Gary Franchi from Restore the Republic, realityreport.tv. You know, I'm really looking forward to seeing all the goodies that you do. I'm very envious. I mean, I'm more focused on the radio aspect right now. We got our video studio, and we're getting into it, and we're green screening, and we're learning a lot of stuff. But I mean, man, you got it going on. So we're gonna try and, you know, I grew up, I want to be like Gary. So tell me what your future plans are for the reality report. What are you planning on doing?
Well, first of all, I have to give full credit to our crew, to Ronan O'Shea and Nina Police. You know, for their work, for their skill, Devin Hansen, one of our graphic designers and technical directors, you know, these are the guys working behind the scenes. You know, you see Nina on the show, you've seen Ronan do his reporting. You know, it's a team effort, and, you know, the sky's the limit, and we want to keep going. We want to keep pushing. We want to keep pushing the envelope with the media. You know, you ask where we're going. You know, I don't know. I mean, all I want is to get the message out. I just want this. I want people to watch it. I want people to share it. I mean, we make the show specifically so that you can just send it to your friends and family in email. We say it in every single show. I know it gets kind of redundant, and, you know, people probably don't even watch to the end because I say the same thing at the end of every show. But the fact of the matter is,
you know, what is that? What do you say at the end of every show?
Well, you know, forward this video to your friends, your families, and coworkers. You know, I say that. And I also say, you know, I'm not here to make you a follower. I'm here to make you a leader. But aside from that last part, we make the show so it can be viral media, so it can compete against, so it can be lined up against some of the, you know, lamestream media outlets, and the American people can, you know, they can weigh the facts for themselves. You know, they can look at the points and they can say, well, this guy.
Well, what are some of the issues that you cover? I mean, you know, this is Aaron Russo's movie, America from Freedom to Fascism, covered a lot of areas. I mean, what was some of the things? One, it was federal income tax, and what a joke that is. It was election fraud. I mean, he had a lot on election fraud. He had
One area we haven't really gone yet. Is into voting machines. You know, I've been intending to get Vicky Karp on our show for quite some time since I met her at Jekyll Island. So we want to get her on to talk about that. The Federal Reserve issue and IRS issues, those are ongoing issues we always cover. Of course, police brutality, tasering, those types of issues we want to cover. We want to shed light on those things. Especially real ID. You know, we just did an interview yesterday with Mark Lerner, a two-part interview about that. And we also cover the states' rights issues. 10th Amendment is a big thing for us.
Well, in your real ID, in this national ID, I mean, that was a big deal behind there's like three legs of the stool. I mean, you have on the immigration issue, you have the illegal immigrants. They want to, hey, I want to stay. I want to be with my family. I had kids born here. I'm, you know, whatever. And then you had the other side. Nope, got to go back. We don't want illegal immigrants. You're illegal. Go away. You're the problem of all that is holy for whatever justification that they make. And then there was the unexpected third leg of the stool for this argument, this issue on immigration, was that this whole thing here in Arizona just incorporated national ID. It has always been that. I've been screaming this for a decade, saying, look, everything that they're doing, the reason they're making this a big deal and not going on the border to actually fix it or to defend, or if that's your real goal, go over there and do it. But it's not. They needed illegal immigration as a mechanism for them to do national ID.
Right. And, you know, and you gave me that phone call just the other day with Jeff Greenspan, and you sent me into a direction, and that it falls back to the truth and being responsible for it, because you revealed something to me, and I already had a general direction I was going on an immigration bill, and then I said to my after I was revealed the facts, the truth came to me, I said I'm gonna be responsible for it. If you watch the beginning of my last show, what do I say? I say I talked to Ernie and I talked to Jeff. And they told me what's up, and now we're going to find out, and we're going to bring you the information. So, you know.
Well, have you started doing your investigations yet? Did you get the legislation and such?
Well, we spoke to Mark Lerner. We did two interviews with Mark Lerner on that issue.
Well, give me his credentials. He's a Campaign for Liberty guy or something?
Mark Lerner is he's the co-founder of the Constitutional Alliance, and he's also the co-founder of the Stop Real ID Coalition. Jeff Greenspan works closely with Mark on these issues. And when I got the information from Jeff that basically laid out that here it is. My initial support for the Arizona legislation was like, okay, I see there's a problem with the immigration. There is a problem with that. But in the back of my mind, I was wondering how are they going to verify citizenship? And you guys brought to me the second part of that equation. You guys answered the question, and that is by transmitting and verifying data through the Department of Homeland Security. And that really freaked me out. And something that Jeff said to me that was so clear was that Real ID is not just an ID card. It's not a barcode. It's not a microchip. Real ID is essentially all the pieces of the puzzle fitting into a data file or a database on the individual that is then held. That data is then held by the Department of Homeland Security. So it really put some things into perspective to me about that Arizona bill. I felt compelled and responsible to tell my viewers right off the bat that, hey, look, I initially came out in support, but it was revealed to me the fact, and here's my new position. So.
I appreciate that. And I didn't know that you had come out for it, or you didn't know what was all the controversy was going on from our perspective, because it was pretty high profile here in Arizona. And even after I've interviewed people on both sides, I've had the National Reform Immigration America, Washington, D.C. lobbyist guy on the left, what's his name, Shuya Ono, and had him on and had the same conversation. I said, if you were to advocate for my freedom, you know, not being ID'd, and the reason that they would use is that, well, you need to be ID'd because you're getting government services, and you just said, well, you don't want government services. Well, good, we'll take care of it ourselves. We'll educate our own kids. We'll go, you know, create our own clinics. We'll do everything on our own. We'll sign whatever. We don't want to have none of your welfare system. Can I please have a job and stay here and do that? Man, I'm your freaking buddy. You know, we'll get you, because then you're advocating for freedom just to be left alone. You're not going to, you know, add to the, you know, raping of my wallet, you know, through the welfare state and all this other stuff. And I'm going, you know, then I can advocate for you. I mean, fine. These are productive people that aren't draining. You know, these are productive people that don't want the welfare. These are productive people that are going to advocate for, you know, me not having to have a freaking card. And I go, you know, that would, they go, wow, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. That's a good idea. And I go, let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to go back to Washington. You're going to talk to your boys, and they're going to go, oh man, didn't you get it? Didn't you get the memo? You're just the other side of the pyramid. When you get the left and the right, it's going to come up where you find out that the same people control both sides, and they're going to use this issue for national ID. That's what it was always about. The people that have been involved in this, the people I've interviewed over the past decade, the people that everything that they've done has been about getting a collective database on a national level, and they will get money, they will get support, they will get media coverage on those two issues. When you have somebody else, another side, comes out and says, for you guys to be able to implement this, you're going to have to check everybody's pay. Everybody has had their papers. You know, this is, we know this, right? I mean, we understand this, right? So they're, we don't want to talk about it. So what are we doing? Mid-June, they're going to, I'll tell you, you guys will know, you're the first to know. You know, they don't know. They're going to have big, giant boycotts and big, giant boycotts, all this stuff. We already talked to the Dune Garrison, which is the, you know, Star Wars guys that dress up in Star Wars outfits around the country, and they call it the Dune Garrison here in Arizona. And we have stencils and signs and stuff that have a stormtrooper. We're not going Nazi, you know, because that's kind of overdone. So they have stormtroopers, Star Wars, okay? So we have a Star Wars guy in his stormtrooper outfit, and it's a stencil that says there, and it says, welcome to Arizona, ... papers, please. You get that in the blazing into the minds of the people. And we have a billboard up on I-40, northeastern part of Arizona, and the highway that cuts across goes to L.A. You know, we'll just put that billboard up there. Boom, done. $400 to put it up there. Welcome to Arizona, papers, please. You make that the issue. You watch. By 4th of July, I will make Arizona huge, big on papers, please. I will inject, because they will not talk about it. No matter how much they know, no matter how much they agree that the problem, once you read the bill, which is why it was held off for 3 or 4 weeks, because legislators actually read the bill when we made such a big deal about it. What does Russell Pierce say? The guy that introduced and sponsored the bill. He goes, oh, what Ernie did by just informing people what was accurate information of what was going on, that was akin to an act of domestic terrorism. You know, he's saying I'm doing domestic terrorism. And if you don't challenge that, then your name gets associated with domestic terrorism. We filed an ethics complaint. You know, the state, you know, this is a much bigger issue, man. And I'm glad you're getting informed about it, because you're right. Once you know the truth, we have a responsibility to share it with other people. And Gary Franchi, RestoreTheRepublic.com. Go ahead and give out. You got 30 seconds, man. Do a commercial.
Hey, we got a new movie just came out. Don't Tread on Me, Rise of the Republic. I want everyone to go out to that website, buy a DVD, and have home screenings. Make copies. Don'tTreadOnMeMovie.com.
DontTreadOnMeMovie.com. I didn't know about it. We should have talked about that, too. Well, you guys go check on it, and we'll have Gary Franchi back from RestoreTheRepublic.com. Talk about it some more. You guys go be free. Gary, thanks for coming on, man. We did the best we could. I'll get you the video on this later today. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.